All right. Thanks, Bob. I'm an alcoholic. My name is Craig. Honor and privilege to be here again with you this week. Appreciate it. We're on tradition six and seven tonight. I'm going to do them together mostly because of how they are written in combination in AA Comes of Age. Any other workshop, I'd probably just do them separately, but because of the way they're outlined in Comes of Age, and we'll go through that. Just going to do them together. So like I've done before, every week I'm going to read the short form and the long form of the AA tradition. We'll start with six. So the short form of tradition six on page 562 of the Big Book says an AA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the AA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. The long form is pretty long. I'm going to read that, and then we'll go back through it, and we'll kind of hopefully make it snackable for those that are new or make it inspiring for those that already know. Tradition six, long form. Problems of money, property, and authority may easily divert us from our primary spiritual aim. We think, therefore, that any considerable property of genuine use to AA should be separately incorporated and managed, thus dividing the material from the spiritual. An AA group as such should never go into business. Secondary aids to AA, such as clubs or hospitals, which require much property administration, ought to be incorporated and set apart that, if necessary, they could be freely discarded by the groups. Hence, such facilities ought not to use the AA name. Their management should be the sole responsibility of those people who financially support them. For clubs, AA managers are usually preferred, but hospitals as well as other places of recuperation ought to be well outside AA and medically supervised. While an AA group may cooperate with anyone, such cooperation ought never go so far as affiliation or endorsement, actual or implied. An AA group can bind itself to no one. So I'm going to give a little bit of info on six. Then we'll go to seven, and then we'll look at it as it's illustrated in Comes of Age. The most important principle inside the tradition six for me is keeping the or principles, keeping the AA name separate and keeping the money separate. That's always a very easy barometer in my experience to see, are we in line with tradition six? So if we're throwing a convention and we have Al-Anon participation, is our name separate? Is our money separate? If we're going to a health fair as a public information committee or a cooperation professional, CPC committee, cooperation professional community, are we keeping stuff separate? You know, are our tables separate from other organizations? Are we clear about what that is? But I really like the word cooperate. I think it's very useful and very important in my experience with respects to general service and working with those in the world about us, whether they're volunteer coordinators at a prison, judge, lawyer, nurse, doctor, volunteer people at the hospital, whatever it might be. We want to cooperate, but we never want to affiliate. It says actual or implied, which is pretty clear to me. And tradition six is very broad. We don't even have enough time to get into it, but hopefully I'm going to give a little inspiration and folks will want to get into it with themselves, whether it's with their own service sponsors or some questions or whatever. But the other thing for tradition six, how can we practice that at the group level? How does this apply to us? Because I know I've been really learning the past couple of weeks that a lot of folks here are pretty new to this. So one way a local AA group would participate in the sixth tradition would be taking a look at your group name. If your name has any sort of affiliation with the church you're meeting at, with the homeless shelter you're meeting at, with the park you're meeting at, with the Burger King you're meeting at, whatever you're meeting, wherever you're meeting, whatever time you're meeting, are we keeping our name separate? Kind of leaks into seven a little bit. Are we making sure we pay rent? Because that's a good way to not be affiliating, because we're, hey, we'll follow your rules, we'll sign this contract, here's your rent, but we also have our own way, you know, that we do things, etc. you go through a lot of group names, whether we're talking intergroups, whether we're talking local district schedule books, area books, whatever, and you'll see a lot of my words, but I do think it's AA's idea. You'll see a lot of affiliation with respects to group names. I think it's a major, 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 I got a few more majors if we have some time, Bob, but major issue in Alcoholics Anonymous. So big that I tried to take it on at various levels of service, which we'll get into probably never, but I took those situations on, and they were quite challenging with those people I took it on with. But I really genuinely feel, with respect to what I see, what my experience is in AA for 25 years and how I read this tradition, because that's where the doors open. It starts with the group name. Let's just take something very obvious. Let's just say we called our group the Alcoholic and Crack Cocaine Tuesday Night Group, okay? I know it sounds crazy, but I'm just saying, let's say we did that. And believe me, some of that exists, but let's say we did that. That's very confusing. That name in itself would lead someone to believe that this particular group deals with alcohol and crack cocaine, and we don't, or we shouldn't. Let's use a obvious one, because I mentioned Burger King, right? And there is a group in a particular state way up north in the freezing tundra that actually meets at a Burger King at 6 a.m. But let's just say you're meeting at Burger King. I mean, you shouldn't be called the Burger King group anyway, but especially if you're meeting at Burger King, imagine if you called yourself the Burger King group of Alcoholics Anonymous. Again, it implies affiliation. It's not that someone's going to go to hell or an alcoholic's going to die tomorrow down the road, but it's not what we do, and it doesn't carry the appropriate message. And over time, yes, it will corrode the fabrics of our existence. And then eventually, a drunk could potentially die because they don't get the message, right? That's what's so interesting about alcoholism. It's a slow death often. And when I'm saying slow death, I'm not just talking about yours and mine drinking. I'm talking about slowly choosing to refuse to follow the principles of the traditions within Alcoholics Anonymous. That group kind of goes through a slow, slow death in my experience. Unnecessary pain, to be quite honest. So those are just, you know, tidbits and thoughts and stuff of that. So we don't want to lend the A name to any facility or outside enterprise. It's very clear. And we don't want it to be diverted from what we just talked about last week, our primary purpose. And what's our primary purpose? To carry the message to the alcoholic who still suffers. And what isn't our primary purpose? Literally everything else. Anything you could possibly think about is not our primary purpose. It's really that simple. But yet we find ways to walk each other through loopholes all day. Kind of like we're just jumping rope all day, walking through these loopholes. It's fascinating. It's fascinating. So common welfare, informed group conscience, understanding what an AA member is and an AA group is, understanding consultation and autonomy, sticking to the primary purpose. And then much like the steps, before you went through the steps, you may identify with this, you may not. If you're like me, before you went through the steps, you saw that tiny little paragraph on step 6 and you had no idea what that thing meant. You literally were like, this is really confusing. Like, what does this little thing mean? But when you actually did the work and you went through the first 44 pages and then you went through the first 5 steps and you got to that paragraph made perfect sense. And that's kind of what tradition 6 is. When we understand and comprehend and practice the first 5, tradition 6 is pretty much just summing up what we already learned, what we already know. It's not really much more complicated than that. But again, some tidbits just to watch out for, especially if you're newer. The group name, are we affiliating, really affiliating or even implied? And also the money. Is the money staying in AA's hands? Are we cooperating rather than affiliating? You know, keeping our name and keeping our money. Tradition 7, every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. That's the short form. Now, here's the long form, which is also another novel for this particular tradition. And I have some thoughts about Tradition 6 long form we could do another time, but I'm just throwing that out there in case anybody's bored one day on a Wednesday morning wants to talk. I have some Tradition 6 thoughts. Anyway, Tradition 7, the AA groups themselves ought to be fully self-supported by the voluntary contributions of their own members. Beautiful poetry. Oh my God, I'm so in love with that line. The AA groups themselves ought to be fully supported by the voluntary contributions of their own members. We can stay on that one line for the next hours. There's so much to dissect there. There's so much to get into. What does it mean? What angles are we covering? What else does this really, it's beautiful. We think that each group should soon achieve this ideal. Interesting, because what does that tell you? That we didn't hit that ideal. And to be quite frank, in most cases, not all, we still haven't hit that ideal in the organization as a whole. There are definitely some Alcoholics Anonymous groups standing on their own that have districts, intergroups, sure. But in general, as an organization, when we think of the contributions we send to the General Service Board for services provided by the General Service Office and all of that kind of conference spectrum, we are still not entirely self-supporting when you remove. Again, we can have the discussions, is literature considered self-support, but just with respect to voluntary contributions, we're still not there. That any public solicitation of funds using the name of Alcoholics Anonymous is highly dangerous, whether by groups, clubs, hospitals, or other outside agencies. That acceptance of large gifts from any source or of contributions carrying any obligation whatever is unwise. Then, too, we view with much concern those AA treasuries which continue beyond prudent reserves to accumulate funds for no stated AA purpose. Experience has often warned us that nothing can so surely destroy our spiritual heritage as futile disputes over property, money, and authority. So I won't bore you. I'll give you the simple version. Again, seven just kind of falls into line if you're doing the first six. Here you are again. What is a way not to follow the traditions? And it's to get distracted from the primary purpose. So I just want to break down a little bit of seven before we get to come to age and maybe also just see if Brooke has any questions. So the first sentence that I read that I tell you I love so much really helped me form my own ideal with respects to my group and how I participate with AA. This kind of blows some people's minds, even kind of offends some people. But I will not put money in your basket because I don't know what you're doing with it. And I don't mean that like, you know, screw you and your group. I just mean it like, I'm not sure what you're doing with that money. I've been around the block long enough. I've done enough group inventories. I've facilitated enough workshops that I know that there are a lot of groups that are reading the preamble, that are reading a paragraph out of the group pamphlet, collecting, passing the basket, and then a lot of that money is not going to Alcoholics Anonymous primary purpose. And I'm not talking about auditing you because your group pays too much rent and I don't think I should put money. I'm talking about literally the money is not going to the primary purpose. And I'm not accusing any group of doing that or not doing that. It's just an ideal for me, just like my mortgage. I don't ask you to come pay my mortgage. I pay my own mortgage, you know? So it's the same kind of philosophy. Now, I just want to be clear, if you're having a big shindig and, you know, you're inviting the guy down the block to share his story and it's anniversary night and you guys are, you know, having that whole thing and you know, I have a couple slices of pizza or a cup of tea or something, I'll definitely put some money in the basket. You know, I ate your food, but I'm just saying, generally speaking, with respects to the spiritual aim of the seven tradition, which we often forget the spiritual ideal of the seven tradition. I want to be a part of that voluntary, for lack of a better word, organization and contribution within my group. We decide where that money goes, which goes to what we talked about last week. When I don't like when I hear the area just passed money up to the General Service Board or the district just passed money up to the area, because we put our money voluntarily in our group, had an informed group conscience, had a discussion, decided where we wanted to send it, and expected, hoped, prayed, asked for you to carry the message right here in the backyard where they're dying by the sip, rather than pass it along where I know they're dying by the sip there too, but the money's here. So lots of spiritual ideas going on in the seven tradition. It's not just this boring little thing that gets passed around. The other thing I think we often forget, and I know I have radical ideas sometimes, but I think each AA group should have a template of how to decline outside contributions, because one of the most spiritual parts of the seventh tradition, which to be fair, most AA groups don't find themselves there, but in general, in the AA service structure and in some AA groups, it's very important that we decline outside contributions, which feeds into the primary purpose and feeds into what we talked about earlier with the sixth tradition and not affiliating. My home group, well, first we learned from a day of sharing at a district in Jersey I was at, we would usually get, it's like sort of like a roundup, a district event, whatever. They're all different names, same kind of thing. But we would get like 400 or 500 people come to our district event. And inside that event, there'd be some non-alcoholics, there'd be some professionals, there'd be some members of Al-Anon, Alateen. So we made announcements, but also on the seven tradition bucket, we had a very explicit little paragraph which talked about the importance of the money that goes into that basket to come from the Alcoholics Anonymous member itself, that we would not be interested in accepting any sort of money, contribution, donation from somebody who is not a member of Alcoholics Anonymous. If you would like to talk further about this, please see blah, blah, blah. I worked at the office, and when I was at the General Service Office, we had found that there was a group, and this covers 6 and 7 and 5 and 1 and 2 and 10 and all of it, really. But this one particular group, the name of their group was named after a treatment center in that local community. And they were actually an employee of that treatment center, was the GSR of that group, who had the name of the treatment center's group. I mean, it was so muddy and sloppy. I mean, you would think I was lying. That's how many spider webs there were. But anyway, they were giving money to the General Service Board for quite some time. And so I brought it up to the CFO and others. And we had probably about $7,000 or $8,000 that had been accepted. And I brought it up, and then we returned all that money. The office returned all that money with a letter because it was inappropriate for us to take it. But hence the template. I think it's really important for districts, areas, intergroups to have templates. I think to be ahead of the game, because when you get to the area level, there's people that have matching contributions at their job and they want to match their contributions and send it to the area, and it gets a lot more sophisticated than the AA group. But it's important to have that template so we can communicate the message, not just say, no, we don't take your money. Because also, imagine for a second, forget about AA for a second. Think of something that's close to your heart right now, whether it's rescuing animals or you know, helping people with cancer or whatever it is. Think of something that's real close to your heart. And if you went to their organization and you're like, wow, man, I want to put some money into the jar here and help them. And if they said to you, we don't take your money, we don't want it, you'd be like offended. You'd be like, whoa, like what? So it's very important that we communicate where we're coming from and why the seven tradition is important, why we have this idea, why we communicate this within our organization, our members. I see the hand, Brooke. Let me just finish this last blow. I like that we, again, primary purpose, don't affiliate, cooperate, stay away from using other people's money to name. But the seven tradition, I think we also need to set the tone in carrying this message the same way we would the 12th step of AA. So what I mean by that is to really say what we mean. Like not just say, hey, pass the basket, or not just say, hey, we don't take contributions. What do we mean in the seven tradition? And here's the best way to say what we mean. Tell your group members where the seven tradition money goes. What does it do? It provides hearing devices for those at assemblies that can't hear it. It provides Spanish interpretation for the Hispanic community at Venice Assembly. It provides literature. It provides books inside correctional facilities. You name it. Let people know. Show them the benefit of the seven tradition, how it connects to carrying the message, not just to paying rent. Because it says very clearly, spirituality is when money mixes with spirituality in the basket, that's what we're looking for. We're not just looking for the money. But let's not forget, the money helps carry the message. You're talking about an organization that, when I was at conference, probably had like a $14 million budget. Now it's north of $20 million. And believe it or not, that's actually not a lot of money when you're thinking about the entire U.S. and Canada. But nonetheless, it's still a ton of money. But yet, there's plenty of professionals that don't even know what AA does and what it doesn't do. Yet, there's plenty of doors that aren't open. There's plenty of AA groups that forget to list their information in the meeting book. So there's lots going on there. Brooke?
Yep, I have two questions. I'm going to ask the first one first. It says, what does he mean by template? Question mark. Percentage contributions? Question mark. Or template answer to those wanting to contribute?
Who's he?
You.
Yeah, I know. I don't even know how to answer that. What I mean by a template is have a letter that you could probably use from someone within your service structure and make it your own of how to communicate that you're going to decline an outside contribution. So sort of like if you're in a role in general service and someone has a template of an Excel sheet or someone has a template of a Google Doc, it's kind of already been done for you. You just got to kind of make it your own. So by template, I mean the bones of the paragraph, the bones of the statement, the bones of the letter, whatever version is already gotten through a experience. Because that's what we miss sometimes too, right? Like either we don't ask for help or we're asking people to service sponsor us that don't even know Tradition One. So it's really interesting in AA. So let's get some information from people that have it and groups or areas or districts that have a template or have experience. Grab that from them, but still go ahead and make it your own. You know, as long as you're putting that. I'm a big fan. If I'm taking you through the book, the steps as a sponsor, I'm a big fan of you finding your God, of you having your experience. I'm not interested in the credit or the blame. It's the same thing with a service. Like, I really want you to use this because it's helpful, but make it your own. Because when you make it your own, you believe in it more, you're inspired by it more. So that's what I meant by template.
Awesome. And the second one says, my area passes the basket a number of times during our assembly, which we have three times per year. What are your thoughts on that?
My thoughts on passing a basket three times, or my thoughts on passing a basket at the area assembly? I guess I'll answer both. So I want to be clear here. I feel good about my experience in AA. I feel pretty confident about my answers, but I also want to be clear. I don't know what area you're talking about. I don't know your bylaws. I don't know your guidelines. So I'm not the answer man. But my experience, I'll give you a, this is my story. Area committee, not assembly, but I'll address the assembly question. We're at the area assembly where people drove 2 hours in traffic to get to, have a service commitment, et cetera, fill in the blank, are giving 2 hours of their time, basically 6 hour round trip, 2 hours of traffic to get there, 2 hours of time, and then maybe an hour and a half back. Traffic's a little less. And then we're asking them to put money in the basket at the same time. Like that just doesn't make sense to me. I think part of the money and the contributions that come from the groups and such, or the self-support from registrations at conventions or whatever, not fundraisers, but you know, registrations and contributions and stuff. That money is supposed to carry the message and help support the trusted servants that were elected to do their jobs. So I'm not really a big fan of that. And I'll go one step further. Sometimes at this area business meeting, area committee meeting, there'd be some food. I mean, not like filet mignon and lobster, just, you know, some cheese and crackers and maybe little tiny finger sandwiches. And some people got really upset, like, oh my God, A's money is going to this food. And it's always interesting because my first question to them is, how much money did you give to the church last year that wasn't rent? That's always my first question after that. And I said, well, why don't you just give that to us? That'll pay for the sandwiches. But outside of that, like, the idea is, why would you not want to feed your trusted servants that are, again, driving 2 hours of traffic, giving 2 hours of their time? We're not asking you to feed their family for the month or do anything. But again, that's interpretation. If you're new here, I'm not saying you have to totally agree with me. Do your own research, read Tradition 6 and 7 on your own, come up with your own conclusion. But the point I am trying to make is, to me, based on my interpretation of the principle, that doesn't make sense. We're supposed to be supporting that trusted servant. We've already asked them for their time. We don't want to. That's what we do with the grapevine a lot in general service, is we're always like putting the guilt on the trusted servants at the assembly to buy more grapevines, buy more grapevines. It's actually interesting if you think about it. Now, just getting back and just to, you know, close the loop on this question. If an assembly in general wants to pass the basket, again, I don't know what they're saying. But if there is food there, I still would be opposed to this because, again, I think it's all part of the budget and the contributions that came in. But in some cases, when there's food or people are ordering pizza or whatever, and they state, look, we're passing a basket. This isn't seven tradition contributions. We're just putting some money together to pay for the pizza. Okay, whatever. It is what it is. Still not my style. Still doesn't really fall in what I feel with respects to six and seven. But if people do that, I mean, that's up to them. So any other questions, Brooke? Okay. I really like this idea too, and this is getting a little complicated for those that are new, but when you look at the long form of tradition seven, it says experience has often warned us that nothing, I'm sorry, I skipped a line. Then too, we view with much concern those AA treasuries which continue beyond prudent reserves to accumulate funds for no stated AA purpose. I think it's important if you're going to accumulate funds that there's a reason for it. For example, if your local group has an anniversary in September and they're trying to carry some funds to pay for the food, or you know, you have to rent the hall a little bit longer because your anniversary is a longer meeting that night or whatever, that's fine. But if money's just sitting around, that's not the spirit of the seven tradition outside of your reserve. The purpose of the money is to use it to carry the message. That's where the whole idea of corporate poverty comes from. Pretty much as soon as you get the money, if your expenses are paid, go use it to carry the message. Get a big book in the library, get a billboard on the highway, whatever it might be. Let's do some things to help carry the message of Alcoholics Anonymous. And here's one last one before I go into the book Comes of Age. This is crystal clear. I don't know how you can debate this, but we think that each group should soon achieve this ideal. We're talking about voluntary contributions. And then it says any public solicitation of funds using the name of Alcoholics Anonymous is highly dangerous. And to me, a fundraiser, a raffle, or any of those in between is publicly soliciting money. And even in some cases, if you're a district, an area, or any other entity for that matter, and you're asking for money, or you're even hinting or implying at the fact that you need money, not only is it a quote-unquote violation of Tradition 7, but here's the bigger thing. It's a violation of the spiritual sacredness of Tradition 7. That's the bigger issue. I don't even care that much about quote unquote the dollars and cents. You're violating the purpose of the seven tradition, because the seven tradition isn't just about getting your money. Hurry up and give me money. Hurry up and give me money. It's about being responsible. It's about being equal. It's about being unified. It's about this money right here helping that individual in Alaska, this money right here helping that individual in India, this, et cetera, et cetera. So there's way more altruism, way more things to explore other than just give me your money. Brooke?
Yeah, so I have a couple more questions. And the first one I'm going to ask, and if this isn't clear, the person's just going to have to follow up. So it says, does it align with tradition seven to sell raffle tickets at an area assembly? Contributions going to Lavinia as Lavinia is not self-supporting. Does that make sense?
Yeah, so you can't make a contribution to Lavinia. So I don't – if someone told you, you – like Grapevine and Lavinia don't accept contributions. And Lavinia doesn't even have – so like when you sign up for a subscription through the Grapevine, that's how you're supporting the Grapevine. You can't send in a contribution. So that one we can explore a little more after the workshop ends. If someone's not clear, if they want my number, we can get into it. But as far as the superficial part of that statement, like, wouldn't even be possible anyway. What was the other part of the question? I'm sorry.
So it says, does it align with Tradition 7 to sell raffle tickets at an area assembly?
I mean, if you're buying anything I'm saying, or if you're reading anything I'm reading from, I would say unequivocally, explicitly, absolutely no. It does not align. Why would you sell a raffle ticket? And what does that have to do with Tradition 7? Again, it's not just about money. You are carrying an awful message. You are telling the member that our message is to just get money. You're so worried about collecting money in this raffle. You're so worried about this fundraiser because this group's going to die, and we're missing participation. We're missing group inventory. We're missing honest discussions so we can grow. Lois Wilson, albeit not an AA member, but had a lot of information for AA early on. She even said herself, if a group needs to die, then it needs to die. It's not a terrible thing. But I'm not even going down that road. I'm just saying selling a raffle ticket to me doesn't truly explain the point of declining an outside contribution, being self-supporting through voluntary contributions of our own members, the spirit of sacrifice, the spirit of humility, the spirit of connectedness, the idea of where the money's going. You know, to be quite frank, I'm insulted. And I know most people that are doing that, they don't understand the tradition. And maybe even some people that are doing it say we do, but we don't care what you think, Craig, and that's fine. But to me, I'm just kind of insulted by it because it's not what our message is. It is not what the spirit of the seven tradition is. And this isn't just a matter of listen to what Craig says. All I'm preaching right here, and I use the P word on purpose, is what we already know, what's already been written, what the experience already is. Don't forget, we learned about the Rockefeller. We learned about the seven tradition from some of the richest families in the world. Rockefeller Jr. pretty much told us, stop hoarding money. One of the richest families ever in time was the one who taught AA the lesson about money and corporate poverty and the direction we were going in. Because Bill, being the big egomaniac that he was, that's the angle he was taking. Got to get all these people involved. Got to get these things together. Got to have money, money, money. And, you know, whatever, it was important in the beginning to get the boat off the dock and all that, but it's not what we're based in. It's not who we are. It's not what it's about. What's very interesting is, like, for example, here's an example that you don't hear a lot in workshops. Let's say a member of your home group passes away and they're going to do, I can't think of what it's called, an obituary. There are actually some members of AA that not only break the anonymity of those that are posthumous with it, which is a violation of the 11 tradition, but also talks about money getting sent to Alcoholics Anonymous. That's a problem because you're putting in a public document. Besides breaking anonymity, you're also asking people that aren't AA members to contribute to AA. So what I've suggested to people, whether I was at the office or a service sponsor or some other district, DCM delegate, whatever, is I say, well, why don't you just, and this is their choice, I don't tell them what to do, but why don't you just keep it neutral to all of that and just ask people to, you know, in lieu of flowers, to make a contribution to certain entities that you enjoy, just not Alcoholics Anonymous, you know? And again, I'm just giving you an idea. Obviously, A doesn't have an opinion on that because it would be hypocritical to the whole point I'm saying, but I'm just opening the minds of how we can think about the seven tradition even when our fellow group members are passing. You know what I mean? Is there more questions, Brooke?
Yeah, there are. A separate question says 50-50 raffle, good or bad? ?
I don't know. Take it or leave it, 50-50. I mean, I think I made it clear how I feel about raffles. The only raffle I enjoy in Alcoholics Anonymous, and I say that sarcastically because I don't really enjoy any of them, but the only raffle that ever made sense to me, I remember being brand new at a young person's group in a city right across from a tennis center in between a homeless shelter and a burger joint. And you would get this raffle ticket and you would grab it. And at the end of the meeting, because they want you to stay for the whole meeting, they'd read a number off. And if you won, you get to choose a piece of AA literature you'd like to take home with you. That's the only raffle ticket that I've ever enjoyed. But obviously that has nothing to do with taking money or any of that. So yeah, I think 50-50 again does not communicate accurately our seven tradition. I'm insulted by it. I don't think it's crisp. I don't think it's spiritual, and I don't think it aligns. You're asking me direct questions. Yes, groups do them. And no, I'm not the police. I can't tell a group what to do or what not to do, but that's my answer.
All right. The next one says, so my district passes a hat for money at the district business meeting, even after they've just sent money out to GSO and area. Can you give me an example of a motion that you'd write to clean that up at the district level?
I'm not sure I would give you that information without having a conversation with you. I'm sure it doesn't make you feel warm and fuzzy, but I'd rather have a conversation with you and answer that question because I don't know the entirety of the situation that's happening. So whomever that is, please feel free to get my number from Brooke or Dee or Bob or whomever. And I did send Dee that information from last week. I don't know if she sent it to you guys. Thank you, Dee. So please feel free to talk to me. I'd rather not answer that without all the information.
Awesome. The next one says, is it appropriate to sell anything in or at an AA meeting, and then at the bottom it says to support a church or club.
No, it's totally inappropriate. Again, it diverts us from our primary purpose. It's not our primary spiritual aim. It's an outside issue. It's implied affiliation. You know, I've heard it all. I mean, I've heard of pastors inviting AA groups to meet at their space for free. And then all of a sudden, after a month or so, the pastor comes in and says, hey, I'd like to give a little talk about God before your meeting. And it doesn't work that way. Like, and that's why rent's important. That's why contracts are important. Contracts are also important with respects to responsibility in the AA dollar. If you haven't learned anything from COVID, get a contract, make it clear, make sure it says something in there. God forbid something happens, you're not on the hook. Again, a little bit off topic, but still relevant. But that's why you want to pay your own way so you can make your own decisions, and you can also cut off whenever you want. You don't want to have to be obligated to anything other than, you know, paying a rent or the contract that you signed.
All right. Next one says, how does something like Google Grants fit into Tradition 7?
That's a great question. And man, I wish I got that one earlier. I think what I'd ask that person, since we're going to have we're going to have space at the end of this workshop, not today, but at the end of the 13 or however many weeks, where we're going to explore everything. Let's hold that question for that period, because there's a lot that has to be said there. The short answer for me is I think there is some appropriateness with respects to the seven tradition. I'll give you the short answer. If you have a bank and you're an AA group or an AA entity, it should be in an interest-bearing account. There is nothing in violation of traditions. In fact, you might be against traditions if you don't have an interest-bearing account, because if you're not collecting interest, then you're separating yourself from like that's what you do. You collect interest in your account. So by not collecting interest, to me, you can argue more that you're affiliating than if you are collecting interest. And how I'm cross-referencing that to Google Grants is there's a way for us to work within society. Not-for-profits, nonprofits have things that are accessible to them. And that includes Alcoholics Anonymous. So if we have some things that are accessible to us, we certainly should utilize them. We just need to make sure we understand our own way. Back in 2011, don't quote me on the year, but we were having discussions because we had already turned down Facebook and having the page and yada, yada. We got into some discussions with Twitter. And believe it or not, Twitter at the time was willing to adjust their whole format for us so that we could be on it. And then we had to, you know, kind of set some boundaries and say some things because we need to still live within our own principles. You know what I mean? So like, yes, I think Google Grants can be useful, can be helpful. But again, that's a more complicated topic. So we'll get into that in week 12 and 13, maybe.
Okay. And the last one I have, at least for now, it says, do you see areas and districts saving money and being in competition with who can send the most money down the triangle?
I mean, I mean, I've seen areas and groups and districts be in competition with some of the most ridiculous things I've ever seen. Ego is a crazy thing, man. You know, it's worse than an alcoholic drinking is an alcoholic sober getting drunk on power. And you better believe the biggest distraction of our primary purpose, the biggest distraction in our general service structure, in my experience, is power more than anything else. People needing to be in control, in charge, etc. So I've definitely seen, I'm not saying every single area is in competition, but I've certainly seen little schisms of who could do the most. It's kind of like if there's a bunch of districts at an area, the district can't wait to get under the microphone of the area and say, we filled all our positions at the district. Well, if you know anything about service, that's not necessarily a good thing. Because if you just threw people into positions and you didn't make sure they were carefully elected and they knew what the role was and they understood what the requirements were and if they fulfilled all those, that doesn't necessarily mean it's a good thing. So it's the same thing with money. But yes, to answer that question, I've certainly seen alcoholic, ego, control freaks compete over some silly things, including myself. I just have not competed over that one, for sure. Are we good on questions for now? All right, so we got about 12 minutes, probably 11 minutes and 58 seconds if Bob has anything to say about it. So when I go through comes of age with sponsees, you know, I have a lot of questions that I put for us to pontificate, answer, look at, whatever. Can we humbly admit our purpose? Like, that's if you pause and you think about it, can we as an AA group humbly, not just admit, but humbly admit our purpose? Because if we did that, we'd probably tell people no a lot more than we do. And remember, no is not a bad word. No is a good thing to do when it takes us outside of our primary aim, when it puts us in a position of affiliating rather than cooperating, when it allows us to accept outside contributions when we shouldn't, et cetera. So when we admit our purpose, and you'll see where tradition 5 is mixing with 6 on page 107, and I have it highlighted in pink here. It's 2 lines. I'm actually going to read this little paragraph real quick. There's never enough time, but whatever. At that time, hospitals did not want us, so we thought we would build and operate our own. Obviously, that was a mistake. People needed to be told what alcoholism was, so we thought we would educate the public, perhaps rewrite school and medical textbooks. Again, mistake. We thought we would revise the laws of the land and have it declared that alcoholics are sick people. And here comes the line. We would carry AA into the dark regions of dope addiction and criminality. So if this is why it's dangerous to quote one line in a book and run somewhere, because if you just took that line, you would think AA is saying that we deal with dope addiction and criminality, when in turn it's saying, no, we don't. And we made the mistake of trying to. So we need to admit our purpose. That is not our purpose. We don't deal with that. That's not our objective. Sure. Some members of AA that had other issues, such as a criminal background or drug addiction, have found solace in finding a higher power and being in service and then either getting a therapist or going to another 12-step organization. Absolutely. But it is not what we deal with. If you look at any piece of public information literature, CPC literature, correction on the volunteer spectrum of things, it's very clear that we don't do any of that. Which is why it's fascinating when two individuals are outside a meeting arguing about singleness of purpose, because we've spent a lot of your AA money writing very clearly that we don't deal with it, yet half of our membership says we do. It's fascinating. So what is our purpose and what isn't? And I think we already covered that in the fifth tradition. Our purpose is to carry the message to the alcoholic who still suffers, and everything else isn't. On page 108 in the book, A Comes of Age, it talks a little bit about us being bankrupt idealists, and it talks about trying to have AA hospitals. And for those, again, that are new or even someone that's been here a while, there is no such thing as an AA hospital. There is also no such thing as an AA club. Hear me very clearly. There is no such thing as an AA club. There are clubhouses that are separate from AA where in some cases AA members are on the board there or AA groups meet there, but there is no such thing as an AA clubhouse. And here's another one for you. You might not know. Another version of the sixth tradition that gets overlooked often at the group level. There's no such thing as an AA retreat. AA does not deal with retreats. And you can find that written very clearly since the 60s in a document that I'm sure Dee or Bob or Brooke or Carrie or somebody can provide you with. It's called The History of the Conference Advisory Actions. And we do not deal with retreats. There's no such thing. We don't have AA retreats. It's confusing. So it talks about on this page all about educational projects, reform, 12-step houses, clubhouses. Now, I just want to be clear. I won't say the name of the state because it's being recorded, but one particular area invited me a far, far way and paid a lot of money to bring me there. They didn't pay me, but I'm saying they paid for the trip and all that stuff. And they wanted me to tell everyone why it was inappropriate for sober houses to be in their community. And I was like, you guys wasting your time because I can't tell you something that we have no opinion on whether or not should be in your community. That's none of our business. With that being said, I'm not opposed to things that help people in the recovery community. Just because I'm talking about traditions and primary purpose doesn't mean, I mean, thank God I got to go in a sober house. I was on the streets for like my first year and a half sober. And then I went into a sober house so that I can, you know, just stay warm and stay out of the hurricane and all that stuff. So those are good things. It's just not something we deal with. Just like a homeless shelter is a good thing, but we don't deal with it. And we have to stick to our, you know, our primary purpose and stuff. And that's what page 108 deals with. And often the biggest problems are self-seeking behavior. It's always the AA member who either has too much guilt because they haven't made their amends or done their own inventory. And I'm sorry if I sound judgmental. I'd rather take that and sleep better at night. But or someone that's just self-seeking, you know, just trying to make everybody feel a certain way or control everyone's feeling rather than saying, no, we don't deal with that, you know. So the question I ask my sponsees and myself on page 108 is, am I clear and effective? I see you, Brooke. Let me just get through 109. Am I clear and effective? The first thing I have to ask myself is, I can't be clear and effective if I don't understand the traditions myself. So I need to understand them. I need to get a service sponsor. I need to have people I can talk with. And then I can start to become clear and effective, just like the steps. Another question, you know, do I cause controversy or inspire harmony? And I gotta consider that, because it's okay to speak up and it's okay to question or hold accountable, but am I creating inspiration the way I'm communicating, or am I creating controversy? Now, conflict is different. Conflict is good. It's healthy. But am I creating controversy or am I inspiring harmony? Yes, Brooke.
Okay, I have two. The first one says, why in 2016 did we take the no retreats line out of the GSO guidelines on conferences and roundups?
I can't answer that. I have no idea. You'd have to ask them. I didn't take it out. And I'm not sure, and I'm not trying to be silly or pass the buck. I don't know. And I'm trying to think out loud right now, because it wasn't a conference action. So I'm just trying to think right now what might have been the purpose or why. And I just don't have the answer. So that's great, actually. Whoever asked that question, I would contact the group services desk at the general service office and ask why. And then they can maybe go ahead and find that out via Michelle at the archives or something. But the point being, take some initiative, take some action, get some discussion going, stuff of that sort. You got another one?
Yes, I do. Says, I am making a flyer for a speaker. He said his home group is XYZ Alano Club. Shall I just put XYZ group on the flyer?
I love that question, because here's what's so unfair. To the individual in AA who just wants to uphold the traditions, who just wants to be guardian, and then they're put in a position. I'm put in this position all the time where people force me to say a particular prayer after I share my story. Or I had a group once come up to me and say, I want you to chair our meeting. And I'm like, I'm sorry, I can't chair your meeting. I'm not a member of your group. So why are you asking me to chair your meeting? I mean, don't you want to ask and give someone in your group the opportunity to do that? So getting back to the question, all we have in AA is experience. Here's what I would do. Assuming I'm informed about the traditions, is I would let them know, thank you for, you know, answering my question and letting me know, you know, how many years you have sober, what your home group is. I'm just going to put on the flyer, this, is that okay? Because we don't, you know, with respect to the sixth tradition, we can't, you know, affiliate. And again, I hate giving advice, because every situation is very unique and is different. So I don't even like giving this little thing of advice, but I would tell you that I would communicate clearly, and I would say, I'm not putting that on the flyer, because you're then asking me to co-sign that it's okay to be called the Walmart group. You know what I mean? Or it's okay to be called the Democrat group, or it's okay to be called the New York Yankee group or whatever. And it's not, you know. Like we had a debate locally in our area, and somebody had what's known as a very religious name, and they kept saying, well, that's not what we intended. We didn't know it was religious. Yeah, but it doesn't matter. It's religious. And you're going to confuse people to think that this is a religious organization when it's not. So I would speak up to it. But here's I guess what I could do more effectively. Have a discussion with the district, the group, or whatever, and bring material related to the primary purpose in the sixth tradition, and let them know you're uncomfortable with putting this on the flyer, and here's why. It's so much better if we have these, because sometimes we have these little, what we call pockets of enthusiasm, and I know there's a couple of people on these squares here that kind of know the same people I do and do the same things I do, and then there's some newer people here that want to learn, but us just talking about it here and hanging out at the diner and patting each other on the back doesn't help anything. go back to the group and start those discussions so that people in those groups get to have those discussions. Even if you don't win the battle, even if they don't vote for what you like, still get the discussion started, because then they're never going to learn. But you better win the battle. What do you got, Brooke?
I have a follow-up to the question about the retreats. It says, and now GSO website is lumping retreats with group anniversaries and workshops.
I was not aware of that. That's interesting. I'd love to be sent that, and I'd love to have a look at that. And unfortunately, I won't be commenting on that, but I'd love to see it. What I will do to wrap up here, because I only have about a minute, again, 57 seconds, if Bob has anything to say about it. But am I ego feeding or am I altruistic? Am I ego feeding or am I altruistic? And just ending right here with the idea of having a prudent reserve and the idea of declining outside contributions and the idea of our groups being self-supporting through the voluntary contributions, which means we communicate what it means to participate in our fellowship. Last thing, and I hope Bob lets me finish this statement real quick. Even my stepson, back when he was like 6 or 7 years old, talked about how just sending money is not participation. That's why you don't call something a donation in AA. It's a contribution, because you're not just giving money, you're participating, and you're also following through and you're showing up and you're participating in the group conscience. You're participating, carrying the message. So it's about taking some responsibility of your organization. The seven tradition is a lot more than a raffle ticket. Thanks for the opportunity.
All audio and video files on the District6AA.org website or the District 6 in Area 15 YouTube channel are for personal use only. Reproduction, distribution, and commercial use are not permitted. In accordance with District 6 current practice, no faces are shown in our videos and audio is scrubbed for anonymity prior to publishing. Contributors whose voices are heard have given record and release consent. Opinions expressed by the presenter are their own and do not necessarily represent the group conscience of District 6 as a whole.